Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 104.
Hello, listeners. This one's a special one to my heart. It's a Skaven Army Review Revolution Edition.
Cheese edition.
Cheese.
All the cheese.
Cheese is Warpstone, or maybe cheese is cocaine, or Warpstone's cocaine.
What's cheese then?
Well, okay, so cheese is cocaine, which is Warpstone. There you go.
They'll have it all. I'll tell you what, we've been put to shame by our 1970s cousins in Canada.
Have we?
We have. They've legalised pot today.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Nationally.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not piecemeal.
So how many countries do that?
Two.
Canada and
Uruguay.
Why
Uruguay? Oh, I don't know. Dragon knows.
Yeah.
But not piecemeal. Not decriminalised like in Holland.
Yeah.
Just full on fucking legalise. You want pot, go down the shop, get some pot.
Yeah, well, nothing ever goes on in Canada anyway, isn't it? So it's fine.
Yeah, but they're like, I thought they were kind of like... What's the word? Conservative. Like, properly conservative, kind of, but obviously not.
I thought Canada was very liberal.
Maybe there's different parts of Canada. Maybe one side's really conservative and the metropolitan side's really...
I tell you what, and this might alienate a listener or two, I don't know, God knows our demographic, but
You're not going to go Trump bashing again, are you?
When I was in Afghanistan, I had to work alongside a French-Canadian. You know, like, and, oh, the most awkward man in NATO, definitely. Yeah, even the other Canadians hated him. Like, that was how much he was hated. And apparently, that's kind of par for the course for a lot of them.
Mm. I've got some family from Canada.
Right, French-Canadian?
I don't think so. Halifax.
Yeah, like,
And Saskatchewan, which is like the fucking wilderness, apparently.
Where's that?
In the middle. Canada's massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, and there's hardly any of it with anybody there.
Yeah, exactly.
So Saskatchewan and Halifax, I believe. So, yeah, but well done, Canada. Maybe we're going to get there one day. I quite fancy it, mate.
I mean, personally, I don't see the issue because I've been to Holland, I've been to Amsterdam, like when I wasn't in the military, and go to the cafes and smoke some weed, get high. I don't see the problem with that because it's like if you want to do it, that's where you can do it. It's not like and it's less. I mean, obviously, you can do too much of anything, but it's less destructive to you than alcohol is.
As long as you can smoke it without tobacco, I think.
And that's the thing. It's like, I don't really see the need for it. You're like, see the big issue with it. But, you know, I'm a member of, I can't touch the stuff for, like, yeah. So it's a, you know, there you go. It's a put it out of my mind. I don't see a big issue, drama with it.
People are saying, like, it would be difficult with people... drunk driving or drug driving or whatever.
Well, it's illegal then. You make it illegal.
You have to find the problem isn't generally with drunk driving, isn't in the evening because people aren't stupid enough to do that anymore. It's in the morning, the day after and stuff.
Yeah.
And like hangovers from gear, I remember, they can be quite severe.
Well, it
don't get out of your system that quickly, I don't think.
Yeah, huh?
So. Anyway, well done, Canada. Maybe one day I'll be able to sit down. In the pub, having a joint.
You can get it medicinal purposes. It is a medicine. You know, like for some treatments, it is, you're allowed to have that. Yeah.
I think it's quite rare.
Yeah, it is.
Although, saying that, things are breaking down. The structures are breaking down. There's a shop in Chelmsford selling cannabis oil, like openly.
Cannabis oil.
Which I think is still, I don't think you can get high off it, but it has the kind of same chillaxing medical effects.
Right.
You know, like relaxing your muscles and stuff.
Okay, fair enough then. Mm-hmm.
But they're openly selling it. They're saying, well, come close us down.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. So, right.
Is this like a pop-up store? Like it doesn't?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, right. Mm.
I think it might even be like a beauty salon.
Right. Okay.
Another mad news: Donald Trump's admitted that the world's got global warming now.
Oh, has he? Okay.
He has, but he doesn't believe it's man-made, and it's probably going to correct itself. So nothing to worry about.
Oh, nothing to worry about then.
Nothing to worry about. Yeah, just crack on.
Crack on. Keep polluting.
I mean, like, and at the end of the day, jobs, money. We can't afford. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'll be dead soon anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like,
So I'm beginning to feel really kind of guilty now about my kids.
Why?
Because we fucked it and our parents have fucked it and they've got to fix it somehow.
So
that's your job. What do I care?
Well, I mean, you know, they'll find other things to mess up. Like, you know,
yes, if there's any planet left to mess up.
I'll go mess up Mars. Yeah, like,
there was a day last week. Well, it's all a bit random at the moment. But there was a day last week. There were several days last week. But one of the days last week, I had to drop my son off at 4:30 for a trip to Germany, because he's in Germany at the moment.
4:30 in the morning?
In the morning.
0400.
So I had to get up before 4, right?
Oh my god!
I was pretty hot on a Sunday morning.
Oh my god!
So, and it was so hot.
Yeah.
It was so hot that I went out in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and flip flops at 4:30 in the morning in the middle of October. And you're going like, yeah.
Nothing's wrong with the world.
How is it 20 degrees at 4:30 in the morning in October in England?
Oh dear. Yeah.
There was a last Saturday. Yeah, it was so hot.
It was still warm, wasn't it?
It was like 26 degrees in the middle of October.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, there's nothing to see here. This is just normal. It's fine. Crack on. And then the same day, we had the 30-year worst floods in Wales. People like,
yeah, it's fine. Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Same day.
But we don't live in Wales. Yeah,
well, what's on our schedule? First thing we're going to talk about, we said it's the Skaven Army Review, haven't we?
Yes, it is. Yes. We are going to talk about how Skaven in Warmaster Revolution and how that's helped them. And we'll try to... puzzle our way through that. Yeah, we're going to need the army book to look over, but yeah, of course.
But we're going to talk about what our 2 weeks, because it is, what day is it? It's a Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
16th, have I just made that number up?
It's 17th. Wednesday the 17th.
11:30, a little bit later than normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No game today because Barry went to the gym.
Yeah.
Boo.
Hiss.
Boo. Mm-hmm. We played a couple of games recently and I had to do something to try and get back on schedule. Anyway, so, no game, but we're going to talk about Paul's game. So, what have you been playing in the last 2 weeks, fella? You're painting blue again.
So,
multitasking.
I've been organised, I organised my painting quota. So, the big thing is I've painted Barry's ogres. So we have on a tray there, we have the entire 2,000 point plus, because there's more points there, like, characters-wise, of Barry's ogres that he wanted to do. And I'm quite pleased with them, really. Like, I'm quite proud of what I've done there.
I think they're nice. I like the little freehand banner each.
What it allows you to do is you can take photos of the units that aren't painted on your website, aren't you? And like you could show painted examples.
I think there's at least a model of everything, but this would be much better.
See an army, wouldn't it? Like a finished work. Yeah.
Yeah, apart from there's some units that aren't here. Because you know me, Mr. Min-Max.
Yeah.
Ain't got no room for no gorgeous.
Do you want to talk through what I've done for you?
Let's just have a little look-see here. Mm-hmm. So, there are some pictures on the Facebook group if people want to see them in the flesh. And obviously we'll get some pictures online. So I could talk about my army list as well.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of units of rock lobbers. Or junk lobbers, or whatever we call them in this list. Junk lobbers. Mm-hmm. They're very nice. They've got lots of crew on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any problem building them? Because some people have asked me for...
I had to guess. It was fine. Like, as in, you know... I don't think they don't need like an instruction book.
Yeah, that's what somebody
asked. I worked it out. Come on
now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's that complicated.
No, it's not, Barry. Like, okay. And if someone is moaning, like, just give them
not
a few,
moaning.
Yeah, if someone's just send them some pictures of finished ones. Like,
yeah, I think that would help.
Make it work it out there from that way. Yeah.
So we've got two units of those junk lobbers, four units of the greenlings.
Greenlings we trust.
Well. I don't know about trust. You just try and keep out of the fucking way. Because they can't support anything.
Nah.
And there's nothing in this army they can hide behind.
No.
So they are literally going to...
Breakpoint.
So four units of greenlings which are hiding. The two units of... what are we calling? Jungle lovers are going to be escorted by one unit of... ogre cannoneers, lead belchers, or cannoneers, or whatever they're called, in the middle to try and provide some resilience because there's no stand and shoot.
No.
On the lead belchers, which is not great. And there's no defensive weapon to go with them.
Yeah.
So we had to find something that we can put with them to try and prevent them just being taken off the board.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So that's what we're going to do. And then we got two units of Rhinos Riders because what's better than Rhinos Riders?
I don't know. Like, there's not much that is.
Elephants.
Elephants. They squish Skaven good.
They squish. They got Terra built in, haven't they? My God. Elephants is good.
Yep.
Two units of Iron Guts.
Yep.
Six bulls.
Yeah, yep.
Because
So that was the backbreaker of your commission, was doing those six units.
Six bulls?
Yeah, because everything else is in small enough numbers that it's fun to paint. But the six units of bulls was a...
And the green list?
I had to go into paint by numbers.
Batch mode there,
yeah, to get it done.
And then we got some characters. We've got the two on the rhinoxes.
Yeah, you wanted me to do a complete list of characters, because, why not? Yeah.
I mean, it's unlikely you're going to have two shaman...
No,
two heroes of
you can't use them all. But
you look if you can get three characters.
Can you tell who's who?
Can I tell who's
who? The characters wise, who's who?
Well, this is the general.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's the big boss man.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
The Sherwin shaman.
The Sherwin shaman.
And another shaman.
Yep.
And then there's a pair of heroes
mm-hmm.
on a base.
Yep.
Just like. But yeah, well, that's bromance. Yeah, bromance.
That's how I want to do it. I thought a hero like would do.
Romancing,
yeah.
And then a couple of big boys. Mm-hmm. It's very nice.
And
we've got like a tundra effect.
The painting I did there, I can easily replicate if you wanted me to do more in the future for you, etc. It's like, you know, that is my, I would say, normal standard of painting.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very clean. That's mm-hmm. That's what people like to see.
Yeah.
Clean. Nice bit of wash.
Yeah.
Lovely jubbly. Mm-hmm. Might need a bit more tundra. What's the stuff on this stuff?
The static grassy stuff.
Right.
Here. Like, do you want me to, before you go, do you want me to put some more on the base?
Yeah, it might need a little bit more, because it looks a bit like there's not, some bases don't have any, some bits have more.
Well, then I'll be doing that as we're talking. Yeah.
What are you doing now?
Well, I'm basing this. I'm doing the next thing I've got to do.
I know we only record 1 hour every 2 weeks, but he doesn't even have an hour every 2 weeks. He's always doing something.
Use my time.
He's got a fucking multitask. He's a machine.
They've got multitask.
Machine. Thank right. You. So well done on that, Paul. We have to settle up for that later.
Please, because you're not going to take him away until you've paid me. I know you
owe me some money for the podcast
fee. Oh, do I? let's settle up then.
And Blackhead paid for this, so you'll have to find some form of receipt.
I have to write you a receipt.
Yeah, so what games have you played in the last 2 weeks?
So I've played some Shadespire. Because the club's decided, Phil's running a ladder campaign of Shadespire, which is hilarious in its simplicity. Essentially.
It's brilliant.
You just play somebody.
Anybody, pick them.
And so anyone who's in this camp, like this tree.
Yeah.
If you play them and you beat them, you go to where they were. If you beat them and they're below you, you go up one. So literally, you can go from the bottom
to the top.
To the top
with one game.
With one game.
Last game, boom! Let's go.
That's it. I mean, it's super simple. It's like okay, but it's so I'm trying to work out a Skaven deck. So tonight I'm playing Necromunda tonight. And I'll take along my Skaven because I've reworked them. I've been organising my cards because goblins. Zarbag's Gits or something, which Barry's holding
Gits.
There. And
very goblin-like.
I just love the flavour of their cards. It's brilliant.
What's the range of those bows?
Three, I think. Yeah.
I bet they're absolute shit. I bet it's like one
grab the deck of cards.
I bet it's one sword doing one damage.
So on the side there, all the bands are. Except getting the goblin one.
Good goblins.
Yeah, look at some of the cards. How they're written is just brilliant. Like, yeah, get just the fluff on the goblins is brilliant.
This is the hero, yeah? The big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Three health.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So he's the only leader with three boxes, three health. That's how weedy he is.
And all we have to do to flip them is get through. Oh shit! They've got different criteria to flip them, haven't they?
Yeah. They're a little complicated in that way, and the way they set up is because there's only seven spaces on a square, and there's nine in the warband. So the squigs have to go next to after you set everybody else up to the squig herder. Otherwise there's not enough starting spaces. But they are great fun. That's what you should be doing with Shadespire, where you produce. So this is this faction. What are the favourite things from this faction? Well, we've got a fanatic, we've got squigs, we've got a netter, we've got little goblins with bows, a little wizard. That's all you need.
I mean, the squigs look decent.
Yeah, they should be.
Expect.
But there's no recursion in there. Once they're dead, they're dead.
They hit really hard. But I mean, you've got the only guy that hits for three. You've got one fucking sword on.
Yeah.
So it's like. The guy's got more chance of saving the fucking shot than you've got of hitting it, generally.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the way the band is a lot as like looking through their cards. It's just they get bonuses just for surviving. Like, yeah, there's a brilliant objective card in there, so just run away. And it's like, literally, you finish the game with somebody involved, you've got some glory. You know, like, love it.
Oh, they get inspired if you kill the squig herder. Mm-hmm.
So they get angry.
The squigs get inspired if you kill the squig insert. So don't kill the squig herder, I guess, is the answer. Then they get quite meaty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's I think they'll be, like, much like the undead, that there's just too many of them and they're too shit actually do anything.
Yeah, and then, I mean, how do you even... Because it's... How do you... Like, a question people are having is, like, how do you set them up and how do you move them?
Fuck knows.
Well, they've got a rule called scurry, which basically, if you daisy chain them, when one moves, the others can move.
Yeah, but they're not... That's not how you set up.
No, they don't set up that way.
Because they're set up on different squares.
Because you're going to have to use some cards just to bring them together. Yeah. Like, you're
gonna... And there's 9 of them, and you only get 12 activations in the entire game.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, man. So, I love goblins, but I think that looks like a fucking hiding to nothing.
Yeah, they'll be, I think,
dog shit.
I think they'll get smashed, you know?
They'll be dog shit. Glory farm, that's what they'll be.
Yeah, well, the thing about how much glory you'll bleed off the other person will just get from just, like, slaughtering your goblins. Because, like, killing a Sigmar Marine is just as much value.
Yeah, one glory.
As killing a goblin archer, and it's like, oh, and there'll be bonuses like score immediately if you slaughter this guy like for double the value like you needed to and stuff like that. He's like, they'll just be farmed off people.
I bet you the fast riders' guns can kill them at range. I bet they don't have to come in.
Yeah. Just shoot them. Yeah. Just definitely. Yep.
Oh well, Shadespawn is in an interesting place.
I think it's great. I think that it's like, there it is. It's like, that's the attitude that it should have, like, as a ladder campaign, where it's like, just play your games, and you get some notional reward if you win or you lose. It's just, it's a laugh. You don't take it seriously. To me, it's like, it's very much like Magic was, where you build a deck to do a certain thing. Like, the Skaven deck I've built just now is, I would call it a score immediately deck. So it's got tons of objectives which are score immediately. But overall, there isn't that much glory for me to get in my objective cards.
Wow, okay.
And a lot of it lies on the leader living. You know, I'll get glory if he survives at the end of the game in quite a few different objective cards. So that's his job. It's like, he'll go forward, take out somebody wounded, and then run away.
Right.
Like, if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it. You know?
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, you tend to lose if he goes down anyway.
Exactly. So I was like, well, you know, let's just put all our eggs into that.
Into that one nice basket. So you played some Shadespire, nothing else?
And what did I play again? Oh, yes, I taught Eric Necromunda, and I played some Necromunda. Yeah, that's it.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. I think I've been playing some Magic, as always. Mm-hmm. And then what else have I been doing? I played Eric last week.
Oh, yeah?
In Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah. Which I've bought into. I've picked up a Rings box set, because that Rings box set was...
You went down that rabbit hole and bought the Rings?
But no, seriously.
I know, I bought it. It's still in the box.
Yeah.
Now you need the army book.
I'll have yours then. So
what?
Well, if you're not going to use it, I'll have yours.
What do you mean? you want the Rings, or you're going to buy the Rings box set?
I have done. Yeah. But when I looked at it, it was too good value not to buy it.
And then you need the army book, so you get a oneer out of you, roughly.
Yeah, they get a oneer out of you. But the component parts of that box are... It's priced at less than half its component value.
Well, you probably wouldn't buy them, generally. But, I mean, the problem is it leads you down to two armies you probably wouldn't want.
Well, I want to play Minas Tirith, and they are natural allies to Rohan, so I can use them, like, I can use a warband of Rohan. So they do, and I would want to, and I don't want to always play Minas Tirith against, I want to play good guys versus good guys. So, yeah, a Mordor orc army is fine to, like, it can be my evil army. I don't know who I'd... To me, it's like, it's not a serious war game. It's not...
No.
It's not a competitive war game.
No.
Yeah, it's like what fun characters do you want to lead your little force? You use them. So I want to, for Minas Tirith, if I want to use Boromir and Faramir, like, and that's what I'm going to use. The bros. Yeah. You know, like, and I wanted to get the pose of Boromir that I wanted, or the one of him holding the white flag, because it's cool.
Yeah.
Right, is he the best leader? Probably.
Oh, no, like, he's going to die.
He's going to die. He's got no fate.
He's going to die.
But that's what I want to use. So There you go.
So Eric played dwarves. He had Balin and Gimli.
Again, Balin.
Balin's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
You find if they had a bad innings in the films and books and stuff, they have a bad innings in the game because they have low fate.
Balin
and Gimli and dwarves.
Yeah.
And I had Lurch and a couple of generic captains and Uruk-hai.
How did you mark out the captains? Are they just...
They're different models.
They are different models.
Yeah.
Are you bothering with different models?
Yeah, because I've got the medals.
Okay, right. Okay.
So, I mean, the biggest ball bag is that everything now is in resin, so the new stuff.
But I think, I heard on the rumour mill that GW are going to have to go through and re-release or redo everything from that range, because they don't want to have models in the books that you can't buy. And at the moment, there's big gaps in their range.
There's tons.
There's big gaps in their ranges. And they're going to be addressing that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, like, I remember recently I had a lot of Moria stuff, but I didn't have the drummers and King and stuff.
Moria.
It was quite expensive as well, like 20 quid fine cast blister. And it's like, I don't want this shit.
Yeah.
But that's all there was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Lord of the Rings is good fun. If you haven't played it, now's as good a time as any to pick it up.
Well, the addition of the game that it is, it's essentially the same core rules as it's always been. You know, there's not much difference between...
There's a bit more hero hammering.
But the way the game plays.
How
you do an attack.
Yeah. I mean, they based some other games off it. There was a Wild West one, there was a Pirate one. Basically port of the same game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And...
Because it's done by Mr. Priestley, and he does good stuff.
And the way you build your warbands is different now. Because it used to be, you didn't have to take any heroes.
You didn't have a restriction.
But now you
open to abuse.
Very open to abuse. Now you've got, for every hero, you can take a certain amount of
models. They have a level, yeah.
And they can bring a certain amount of followers with them.
Which, again, makes you want to, leads you down a colourful, route. And they just modernised it, basically. Like, way GW games are done at the moment is they have the three modes of play, open, narrative, and competitive, or match play, as they call it. And it's and that's just bringing them up to date. It's just bringing that game. They either let it die, go away, or they put some emphasis into it, some resources into it, and regenerate it. And clearly, it's a good idea to regenerate it because it's selling.
Yep. So the game started reasonably well. I was on top for a long time. I had some lucky, shooting's very hit and miss, ridiculously. You got to roll, for example, a 4 to hit and then a 6 to wound. And there's no armor save, so if you roll 4-6, the guy's dead.
But you can affect that with heroes. Can affect that.
Heroes can affect that. So over the first 3 or 4 turns, I managed to ping off some of Eric's stuff. So I was maybe 10 models to 4 ahead, and I had a higher break because that's what Isengard has.
Yep.
Did I say it was Isengard? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whitehead. So, but then Eric's armour just took over. It's I just couldn't fucking kill these dwarves.
So when you got to the melee, what did you need to wound these dwarves?
Well, unless I was up in my strength somehow, I needed a 6.
To wound.
And they were hitting back, sometimes needing 5, sometimes needing 4s.
To drop you back.
Yeah.
Some uphill maths.
And we were even on fight.
Yeah. So that means what?
So it used to mean, if you were even on fight, it was a draw and you pushed away. But now it's, you roll a dice, and a 1 to 3, the evil win, and 4 to 6, the good win.
Yeah, whoever's standing in those.
And then you roll your, to see if you've wounded them.
Yeah. Okay, so it makes it more deadly. There's no, somebody will hit somebody.
Yeah, and in, once we started getting into melee, the dwarf armour was just redonkulous. Yeah.
Well, it was what it does.
It's exactly what it does. And thrown weapons now seem amazing compared to bows.
Yeah, because the higher strength.
Because you get to throw them on the way in.
Ah, right, okay.
So you charge a model, throw your little axe or spear or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if you kill that model, you can charge another model.
Fantastic. So you just drop him and go to the next one. Yeah.
So that was a massive bonus.
So that's a roll for Gimli.
Gimli did that a few times. Yeah. Gimli little...
Still only counts as one.
Gimli. But I think for my good army, I'm going to try and do something around Aragorn, because he's just... monstrous.
Well, exactly, but that's the point of this game system, isn't it? Is you build an army around a certain character that you want.
Because you've got all these lists of all these different things you can do with your might points now.
Yeah.
But most characters only have 2 or 3, and they go in like a turn.
Yeah.
They're just vaporized.
Done.
Yeah, you do a little heroic
they
charge,
have a good
and then,
turn.
And then you boost another thing to kill something, and then you've got nothing left.
Nothing left.
Whereas Aragorn gets 1 free a turn.
Because he's who he is.
And he starts with a big bank to work with as well.
Yeah, because he's the man.
And if he takes his swords, he never needs more than 4 to wound.
There you go, because he's the man.
Because he's the man.
I mean, as for like what potentially evil force I do, I've got my eye on the mouth of Sauron. He was quite cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Quite a cool thing. Yeah, like.
I mean, what's the guy on the Nazgul you got in the box?
Is it can you make him as a Ringwraith or the Witch King? Is it a choice? Has he got options for both? Like in terms of building the model, it's advertised as the Witch King, but could you make him a Ringwraith?
Well, why do you want a generic one?
I don't know. Like, I'm just asking.
I don't know. I'd take the big one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. We'll see. Okay. Right. Good. Good. So that's enough shib shab about that. We've already done 25 minutes. We've got to do fucking Skaven.
Fucking Skaven.
Skaven.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so we're just going to talk about a little bit. We're going to have a little new section. It's going to be about the week in Warmaster, or 2 weeks in this case, and what we've seen happening and what we've been doing Warmastery-wise.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
So, what's been going on, Paul?
I'll bring a topic is I've backed the guy's sculpting that was advertised on Facebook. I haven't got his name, but he was like a guy's done more ogre models of original looking ogres.
The Jess Goodwin style.
He's taken the 28mm scale models and he's quite skillfully reimagined them at 10mm. You know, and then he's done a Kickstarter and it's backing quite well.
See, I thought what he'd done was taken the original unit, which has, if I remember rightly, like 9 sculpts,
yes,
maybe?
That's right, yeah.
But lots of them are variants, so
yes,
it's like,
yeah,
just like weapon
holding
swaps
a different
and
weapon,
stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, and he's done 3, and he's potentially doing maybe even a 4th model, and you buy him in packs of 10, which will be...
The way the Kickstarter is, because I've backed this thing,
okay,
is that you're buying a unique ogre unit of sculpts.
Okay, so 10 individual,
yes,
you...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Including any extras that the funding then produces.
That's brilliant.
And he's, yeah, so it would make... So if you had a unit of original GW ogres, this is a...
Which are as rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah, this would be a second-looking cool unit, which are different models.
Okay, good fair.
Yeah. I mean...
I'll be honest, it was something that scared the willies out of me,
course,
but, going that near to their IP.
Yeah, well, it's not what I'd choose to do. And
that's fair play
to him. Obviously, it's, you know... There is a very good ogre range done by a certain somebody out there, but I mean, it's just this unit. Like,
yeah, yeah, it looks nice. It looks nice. I mean,
I backed it on principle that I like to. If someone's doing these things for Warmaster, I'll back it. Like, he only needs, I think, like 50 backers worldwide for it to go. And it's like, I'll be one of those 50 backers. It's not expensive.
I never really liked, from a personal point of view, I never really liked that style of ogre, that kind of mercenary...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like...
what was that, 4th edition Warhammer Fantasy or
something? I'll get them, I'll enjoy painting them, I'll stick them in maybe the Orcs and Goblin Army. I don't know. Yeah, like, but yeah, it's just that I will support people for that, just on principle. Unless they're asking for a ridiculous sum.
Warmonger is still doing their stuff with Bob... Bob Naismith.
Yes.
Around.
So that
I don't quite understand what all the different variety of artillery are for. Maybe they're for
just
historical.
Just flavour of player, I guess. Yeah.
Or maybe because it's Empire, you could port it into historical stuff. Because isn't an Empire mortar, is there?
Or no.
Is
there
isn't the mortar.
There was never. There's no separate rules for what a... There wasn't a mortar model built.
Oh, made, right, okay.
But there's no separate rules for it, as far as I'm aware.
No, that's what I thought.
Certainly not in any form of the game we're playing.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, for fair play, his range is getting bigger and bigger every time.
It'll be an entire Empire range. So again, if you didn't own an Empire army, that's what you get. And I bought the stuff that was unique to that range, like the greatswords, because that's cool. Like, they can be... I use them as skirmishers.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you came across this week?
I don't think so. Anything else for you? I mean, you have got a note here saying forums. Forums are dead. That's what you've written.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think we talked about that last time, didn't we?
I think so. But do you want to just recap?
No, I think what it is, I cut and paste the previous army review. Oh, I think we're talking about the we're closing down the...
Oh, right. So that's a preview, right, okay.
The Rules Committee Forum, yeah. And it's but Alice is dealing with it now on the main...
Yeah.
What, Specialist Arms Forum.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Alice is the man if you need to talk to him about anything.
He's the man. He is the man.
Okay, so that was the week of war. I hope the logo thing does well. Maybe
when I backed it, it was very close to being supported. So I haven't looked at it again. I haven't got that email come through. Well, no, it's still quite a long time left to run in terms of backing. But yeah, it's like that kind of thing would always get my money.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
So we're going to talk about this Skaven Army Review Revolution Edition now.
Yes, indeed.
So we've done one of these before.
Yes, we have.
I remember a little song I used about... Yeah. Smelt a rat with a baseball bat.
Go on.
Oh, when they smelt a rat. So you've got to read, sir. You've got to read.
All right, you want me to...
That's what I said. Yeah, you're too busy doing other jobs.
Right.
Yeah, you don't get his full attention, listeners, anymore. I'm sure Hannah feels the same way. I never get the full Paul experience.
Read the fluff.
Just 50% Paul now. That's the best I get.
Skaven. Mm-hmm. Oh, says you would rather go to the gym than play a game.
That's true today.
All right. Skaven are neither rats nor humans, but a vile combination of the two races. The origins of the Skaven are known for certain. It is likely that they were mutated at the dawn of the Age of Chaos, when powerful waves of magic swamped the world. Millions of tons of magical energy materialized was hurled over the planet in the form of meteorites. Some of these were huge boulders as big as houses, but most were much smaller and down to the finest particles of dust which fell to Earth and polluted the ground with magical energy. Creatures that breathed in the dust or stayed within the radiating power of the larger stones became mutated into the most horrible monsters. The Skaven may well have mutated from original vermin as a result of the consuming this corrupting material, or warpstone, as they call it. Even today, the Skaven crave warpstone. Even minute trace of warpstone would kill most creatures, but for the Skaven, it's a potent stimulant and one that confers great power upon their sorcerers. It also destroys and mutates Skaven and drives them insane. Hey-o. But such is the hold over the whole race, though they dwell for it beneath the earth, wherever it may be found. Like ordinary rats, Skaven adore the daylight and avoid open spaces. They dig tunnels beneath the earth, often taking over old dwarf mines and goblin burrows. Though few suspect their presence, they live below the cities of men in the sewers and cellars and amongst ruins, emerging only at night to prey upon vagrants and other unfortunates. So they kind of clean up the society, you know, community policy.
Well, just like...
just get rid of all the beggars. Yeah.
That's fine. Right. I mean...
Over the centuries, the Skaven has constructed...
Very conservative government. Yeah.
Over the centuries, Skaven have constructed thousands of miles of tunnels and huge city-sized nests so that the whole planet is riddled with their workings. Even the mines of the dwarves are undermined by the underworld of the Skaven, and the two races have fought many battles beneath the earth.
Legendary battles.
Yeah. The Skaven thrive upon decay and corruption, but their society is highly stratified into the highest lords of the decay, to the most lowliest Skaven clans. They live in large extended groups called clans, which they are great many. The most powerful clans ruled the rest, and they in turn ruled over by the Council of 13, whose members are the dreaded Lords of Decay. It is this council that directs the Skaven's attempts to overthrow the races of the overworld. The ordinary clans are made up of many thousands of Skaven warriors and slaves, and very little else. But some clans have developed special skills. These include Clan Pestilence, whose rulers have developed a form of germ warfare, spreading pestilence and corruption by means of noxious vapours and poisons. Clan Eshin is the master of subterfuge, and whose agents scuttle over the rooftops of human cities on their secret missions of sabotage and intelligence gathering.
Mm.
Clan Mulder's sorcerers have become the masters of mutating magic and have crafted many vile monsters by feeding them warpstone. Their most successful creations are the Rat Ogres, gigantic Skaven monstrosities many times the size of an ordinary Skaven. Clan Scry is famed for its machineries that blend sorcery and an advanced science far beyond the understanding of a mere human. Most powerful of all are the Graces and their supreme sorcerers of the Skaven race.
Good for your Skaven.
That's the fluff out of Warmaster Revolution Armies. Great fluff.
Great fluff.
Great fluff, I think.
Great fluff.
You know, just lovely concepts.
They fucked it though, didn't they? They are to Warhammer Fantasy what we are to the world.
As in the Brits?
No, the humans.
Humans, right.
That we talked about the global warming.
Yes,
they are the global warming to Warhammer Fantasy world.
Yes, sadly. Yeah, like, I mean, I just love the fact that they're natural cowards. I love the fact that they're very organised in their own way. I love the way that they basically are just are cocaine addicts. You know, like, and I'll do anything to. And it's what made me love Skaven even more is Gracie Thankwell, the series of books about Gracie Thankwell, because he's such a funny character. You know, and he really was he's a villain in a early Gore-Tex and Felix novels.
Right.
But he was so popular that he got his own spin-off books because, like, all good, like, every hero needs a good villain. Like, every Bond movie needs a good bad guy.
Yeah, Dr. No, yeah.
To be a good bad guy. And Thankwell is just hilarious.
Right.
You know, because he doesn't. I just love the fact that he will accuse anybody of anything, even though he's blatantly doing it himself.
Right.
And he's very like a politician. He's like, but I'm fine. You know, like, these rules apply to everybody else, but not me.
Not me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Which is good. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get off the world. They shot the fucking moon rocket and blew everything up. And
I don't know why they are in Age of Sigmar, but they are.
Because they're everywhere.
Because they're everywhere. But how'd they get there?
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
There's like this famous saying that you're never more than 10 feet from a rat or something.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We had a rat in this house recently. The cat actually went cat for once.
I caught a rat.
No, and just chased it. You know, and didn't catch it because she's useless. But
Cat went cat. Well done, cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, what are we going to do next? Are we going to talk about the list?
Yes. So
you need to talk about your Skaven army rules because they are many.
So this is a perfect example of how just adjusting a few core rules makes an army so different to other armies, which is fantastic, and which speaks of fantastic game design. So the army rules of Skaven is that there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Brigades may be any size.
Any size.
And are not restricted to the normal 4-unit maximum.
So I have a tray here with my ogre army on, which is approximately like 30 centimetres by 20 centimetres, maybe.
Yes.
That is a brigade.
Yes.
That could be full of Skaven.
Theoretically, you could build an army which is like a pizza box that has a space in the middle that your general stands in.
With his screaming bell.
With his screaming bell, obviously. And he gives it one order, the whole lot, and it just moves, you know, like once. You know, like, you know, just 20 centimetres forward. That's it. That's my movement done.
Ba-boom.
I haven't tried that, but that is literally what you could do. Because if you build brigade, like, when you take that restriction away, and you start, like, right, so, hang on, your mind just boggles with possibilities. It's like, I've played quite a lot of games of Skaven, and you're just like, how do I move them? What am I meant to do?
Straightforward.
When you don't have that restriction that everybody else has, it's like, gamers need boundaries. If you don't give boundaries...
Children need boundaries.
If you don't give the boundaries, you don't know what to do with you. So you're like, ooh, like, if the dog catches the car, what does the dog do? Like, you know, what does it do? Like, the greyhounds, if they catch the rabbit.
Well, they kill it.
Would they know what to do with it?
They kill it. I've seen it done.
Okay, they do, actually. Right. Anyway. But it's like, and that's like with this, with Skaven and brigades, you just don't know how to do it. Like,
I'll tell you what. The most crazy thing about this rule is, if you get them having to wheel, it's just so funny. They just can't move.
You can't do it.
They spend the whole turn wheeling, and then the next turn they have to wheel back.
Just go back the other way.
And they move like
nowhere. They move nowhere. Net gain, nothing.
So they're really good if they're going in a straight line forward.
Yes, and really, when you realise this, and it's the same problems I had when I was playing Warhammer Fantasy, was that my 100 block units of slaves could only really go forward. they just can't manoeuvre. I just aim them like columns and there we go.
Just straight forward, lads.
we'll hit something eventually, or something will hit us, and if we keep checking our leadership well, we'll stay. So that's an amazing rule. Vermintide. Skaven units that win a round of combat can choose to pursue any retreating enemy unit, regardless of troop type. Any Skaven unit, including artillery, can pursue any enemy units, including flyers, cavalry and chariots. Although allowed to pursue regardless of enemy troop type, Skaven are still constrained by terrain and fortified status in the same as other armies, e.g. they cannot pursue if fortified. So that is really a, like the Dwarf Rangers rule, Skaven don't have any cavalry. They're all troop-type infantry, you know, or artillery. So if they didn't have a way to chase cavalry, then they couldn't ever beat a cavalry army, because they could never, like, even playing on the extras of pursuit of revolution, if you get them in the flank, that kind of thing, you'd just never do it. Like imagine if Skaven couldn't chase, you just line up a brigade of cavalry in you go, it doesn't matter. Like,
you're, well, you'd only hit them once, then you back off.
They charge you, you doesn't matter.
Splam.
Yeah, you back off, you charge them, you kill some more. Like, it's just it would just shred Skaven. It's in, like, they can't, that's a game balance rule. For no, I mean, obviously Skaven can't chase down flyers, of course they can't, but it's just there for necessities sake.
They did. I've seen them in the game. Chase them down with a little.
Then you have Under the Lash. So all Skaven characters have a command range of 20.
No,
whether
bad.
General, heroes,
that's
wizards.
Bad. That
even
bad.
Skaven generals have a command. They actually state it twice.
Even
command
generals.
Range of 20. So Skaven are very good at directing their underlings, but only so long as they remain close at hand. We call it Under the Lash. That's it.
That's very harsh.
Yes.
Because, like, lizardmen have a similar rule.
Yes.
But it's only for certain troop types.
That's right.
And it's really restricted. And they have cavalry, which helps them get around.
Yeah.
And they have flyers that helps them mitigate it.
Yep.
But you have nothing but infantry.
Nothing but infantry.
And nothing can be ordered over 20.
They can only move 20 centimetres. Nothing in the army can move quicker. And you can only order things within 20 centimetres. So, really, you only move a Skaven brigade twice in a turn. Because you can't move it. Like, if you want to go, if you're going towards the enemy, you can only really move it twice.
Well, you either move it once to 20, or you move it once less than 20, and once more again.
So you end up going like 35.
There, maybe, if you're really lucky, the wind's in your favour.
Yeah.
And it's a sunny day.
Exactly. But I love it. Again, this is really good. If I had come up with something so original, this would be something to promote that how you came up with these ideas.
Well, this is what we. Lots of time, I don't mean to sound critical, lots of times people have little ideas and they come up with an army list.
Yeah.
And basically all they do is just go around and cherry pick the best bits of other lists, shoehorn them into a new list and make some fucking crazily good list.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this list isn't the best list in the world.
Oh my God, no.
It does have some strengths.
Yes, it does.
It has some special rules.
Yep.
And it plays completely different to anything else. But nobody would say, like, Skaven are overpowered.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, it does help. I mean, this goes on general. They are rare models. But it does help.
Although there is a Kickstarter kicking around
there
for
is,
Skaven.
For a Skaven army, exactly.
By Jan.
But they're not good. They're not. I mean, and at times I've lobbied to make them even worse. You know, like wanted more.
Yeah, Paul wanted them to have the Dark Elf execute your bloody blunderers.
Yeah,
they don't need any more.
Yeah, I was like, that's a cool rule, and that's very Skaven.
They don't need any more bad news, man. Yeah. They don't need any more bad news. Right, so we're going to kick off now. We've talked a little bit about the overview, and we're going to talk about the individual units when Paul finishes painting. He's highlighting now, I believe. So what is the first unit on the list, Paul?
Classic Clan Rats Infantry 336 for 40 points.
40 points?
Minimum 2, no maximum.
How come they get the discount, fella?
Because they're shit.
They're not shit, the halberdiers, for cheap.
Yes, they are. But they have other problems of the army.
Problems.
Yeah. So the 20, it reflects the army rules, doesn't it?
So one.
It's like undead.
It's nothing like undead.
Yes, it is.
It's nothing like undead. So basically, you get halberdiers for cheaper.
Yes.
And they have to carry some negative rules, but they get some positive rules to flip them out.
I knew
out.
You were going to have a problem with this.
this is one of the things that they did when they built the list. They said, look, they've got some negatives that we need to work around.
Yep.
So we need to give them some cheap shit. Yep. Not everything's cheaper.
No.
But these are.
These are.
These are. And a couple of other things are. But fair play to them. I'm not going to moan too much because they need all the help they can get. Because I don't think they're overly competitive, even with it. So you get cheap halberdiers, 5-point discount.
Woo!
5 points.
Yeah, like.
What else do we get?
And then you get Storm Vermin, which are 335, the classic profile, which is normally 60 points, but these guys are 55.
But.
And you can only have a maximum of 2, so that means you could have 4 an army.
Now, why in the wide, wide world of Warmaster would you not take 4 of these? Because you're getting discounted.
I don't know.
These.
I mean, they are a 1+ Zin. I would always take 4 Skaven.
Well, you've got. Why would you not?
There's no reason not. These are
as good as infantry as most armies get.
Yes.
And you're getting them for cheaper.
You get them 5 points cheaper. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's only 20 points, but that's a free dispel scroll.
Yeah, yeah. It all adds up when you start multiplying it.
Yeah, if you take 15 units of clan, oh, 16 units of clan rats, yeah. 4 units of this, that's 100 free points. That's, yeah. that's what's that, 5% free?
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, they're very good. They're almost like the stars of the list, I would say. And you should be taking 4 units of them.
Well, if you can find the models.
Yeah, if you can find the models. Yeah. So, Giselles.
Ooh, here we go.
3 attacks, 1 shot, 3, 6 up armour, 70 points, and they have a rule for a minus 1 armour save, so they count 1
armour piercing.
Armour piercing.
So, they're handgunners?
Yes. Now.
And I think they're discounted as well.
70 point? No. No. Are they? I don't know. Have a look. It won't be in there.
So, I'll just have that. I know that high elf archers are more than that.
It's alphabetical, that book.
Just to keep me on track. So, we want Empire Handgunners, 70 points, yeah?
Mm-hmm. So, the issue you have here with a Skaven army.
Well, they're 65, they're more. What have they got? They got armour?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, they got armour. Okay, they probably are cheaper with the armour included.
So, the problem you have here. Is this comes to army build? Is like what? Where do they go? Like I've tried Skaven army with shooters. I don't know where they go. Like as in what they kind of they detract from what the army's supposed to. Like in a sense, they're almost getting in the way. You know, so they're an interesting troop choice. I don't know. Like in another build, the build I will talk about my army list, but I can't see their obvious role.
Well, they're not bad value though. That's the point. For shooters, they're pretty good value.
Yeah, no, they are. But
because that point of armor is worth a lot.
Yeah.
And you're only paying 5 extra points, which is obviously underpriced.
Yeah.
But it's because like most of the infantry choices are cheaper.
Yeah.
But they suffer from all the problems that what is the role of shooters in this game? It's just to push stuff around.
Well, no, some armies do it very well, and some armies can get enough damage, enough range stuff from. Various sources to cause casualties and to cause effect. Mm-hmm. Skaven don't do that.
They do. We'll talk about it later. They do. Oh, yes, they do. They do. Right, so we've got next thing here. We've got Plaguey Monks. 5-3-0. Have you been talking about special rules? No, we've only had the Giselle armour piercing.
Yeah, yeah.
5-3-0. 3 stands for, you know, obviously, because they're infantry. 70 points, maximum of 2. And they are always use initiative to charge.
Yep.
Can't be given an order instead. They will never use initiative to evade. They can't be driven back by shoot. Never offer drive backs. If victorious in combat, they must pursue. Plague monks are unaffected by enemy force terror.
They're flagellant
monks,
basically. Yeah. They are Skaven flagellants.
I'm not a big fan of these. I think you've got enough problems keeping your shit together in some kind of coherent order.
What is their min-max? You could have it's 4
max
units.
Max 2,
so... Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't think you'd want to take more than 4 units of these anyway. They hit very hard, but they're going to die to whatever they attack, basically. They're like they don't last long. And the fact they have to always pursue is they're just going to get ground out because with 3 hits and 6 up armor, they can't take protracted combat, which they always will have if they go into combat. Is that it will have to be protracted.
Yeah, but I mean, in the same way, Empire, these are... If you didn't have something else, these would be your hitty troops.
Yes, yeah.
But you do have something else.
Yes, you do.
That's coming. Yeah. So the next one along is Rat Swarms. So we've got 2 attacks, 3 hits, no armour, 30 points. 3 unit sizes, 3, sorry. 25 points, minimum 2, no maximum, apart from the fact that you don't... They still give away break.
Yeah,
so you don't want to go fucking mad. Rat Swarms, as a special rule, Rat Swarms cannot be driven back by shooting and do not roll for drivebacks.
Really?
A Rat Swarm cannot be supported by other kinds of infantry, but just by other Rat Swarm stands. Note, however, that Rat Swarms can support other infantry as normal.
So what you
which is bizarre.
Yeah, what you find...
A Rat Swarm cannot be given magic items.
Of course. So what you find with this unit is that you want them, like, in a fluff sense, they'd be in the lead.
They've got to be in the lead.
But you can't support them. So, actually, they end up being second rank stuff, which is a bit weird.
But then they're not being driven back shit, are they?
Yeah, so like they've got their rules kind of...
Are you talking about the Yeti rule, where the only thing he can do is babysit bloody greenlings, but as soon as he does, he loses all his rules?
Yeah, basically they've got 2 contradicting roles. Like, you think, oh, okay, I want them out front, not getting driven back, taking shots down.
Taking cannon shots in the face.
But then you can't support them, so... And they still give away break. I mean, what you do get for, what is it, 25 points?
25 points for 3 stands.
You get a unit that can chase anything. So, like, that's interesting. But it...
I just see a unit that gets shot in the face by cannons. Because somebody's got to get shot in the face by cannons. Exactly. So it might as well be easy.
And you don't have anything quick. You don't have anything that moves over 20. And you can't order anything over 20. So you are going to take some rounds of shooting, a Skaven. There's no way to avoid it.
No way.
You know, these are the things that should get shot first. I mean, I guess. And then you just back, and then they just get retired to hold their break somewhere else. I guess. I mean, you have to take four. The only time I've ever added in another unit was to make up breakpoint because I had the points left or something.
To flip you from like 16 to 17 break.
I don't know with rat swarms. I don't know.
Help me, rat swarms.
I think if they weren't mandatory, I probably wouldn't take any. But
that's not very. That's not very fluffy, sir, for you.
What
could be more fluffy than rat swarms?
Well, I think, or if I could, I'd probably take one or two units, and that's what I'd just send out in front of the army
to get destroyed.
To get destroyed first, yeah.
Yeah, I think having to take four is very fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wouldn't take more than four. Right, you can read the next one, because you had your, whatever, your hairy paws involved in this one.
Gutter runners. Infantry, 3-1. 3 hits, 6 up armour, 70 points. So, gutter runners. In brief, gutter runners have the same... they are the originals.
They are the originals. Sorry. They're the ones that get changed to make everything else work.
Oh, okay. So, gutter runners have a range of 15 and can shoot all round in all areas. However, they may... gutter runners do not have to be deployed before the game. Instead, they may do a infiltrate, which is onto battlefield once the game begun. To infiltrate a unit, Skaven player nominates a point he wants the gutter runners to appear on and issues an infiltration order with any character. This character does not have to be within the normal command range, because they wouldn't be, would they? Because they're all 20. You know, so their command range for this order is unlimited. They treat the order as nominated to the point, but apply any modifiers for distance and proximity enemy. So every 20, it's -1, enemy, -1.
Mm-hmm.
And apply any modifiers for distance, but not ignore penalties for dense terrain. The nominate point must lie either on the table, a table in the dense terrain, or on any base edge other than the player's own table edge. So you can put them up on the enemy's back.
Behind them.
If successful, place one stand in the nominated spot and arrange the rest of the units in its formation around it. The infiltrated unit cannot be placed so it touches an enemy unit. Fair enough. And once deployed, orders can be given to the unit by the same character that gave the infiltration order if they're within their normal command ranges. The infiltrating unit is considered to have received its first order to deploy. If the infiltrating order is failed, the unit is not deployed and cannot infiltrate that turn. It can attempt to infiltrate in a subsequent turn in the same or different place.
Okay.
Yes.
And what stats they got?
Oh, that's the doorbell.
She's there. I can hear her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So stats. It's a 3-3-1. Sorry, a 3-1-3-6. Yeah. So one shot, 3 hits, 6 up armor.
Okay. Pretty normal. 70 points.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No min. Max 2. Something like that.
Max 2. So you could. Oh no. Sorry. Max 4.
Oh Jesus.
So you could have 8.
Good luck with that. Yeah. That's a lot of points.
And that might be a type of build.
That'd be quite a funny build. But they can definitely do work in annoying and harassing and causing order problems.
Yeah, they do. They certainly have a role. It's certainly worth taking a couple of units for the opportunity, because they might be able to like jump on a flank or something that the enemies isn't expecting and can't really prepare for. But the a question I do have with them in terms of... because the optional rule, which should always be included, I think, of half-pace moving. So if a Skaven character tries an order to infiltrate and fails it, can the unit set up?
No. That's failed an order.
It failed an order. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's different.
Yeah, fair enough then. I mean, like, it's something I
you don't want any risk at all. You just want everything to happen without even trying.
No. It's just like it's something I've thought about. Like, should it or shouldn't it? I've always played it that it doesn't, because it doesn't benefit me, the owner.
Yeah.
You know, but
I definitely don't think it should. Mm-hmm. One funny thing to do is if there is a bit of terrain in the mix of the other person's army, like in the middle of their army, and they're going round it because they don't want the negative.
Yeah.
And pop yourself up in that terrain hidden.
Yeah.
That can be a pain in the arse.
That's a perfect role for gutter runners.
Pain in the arse to deal with.
So they just stay in this wood. No one can see them because the enemy thinks they're there.
They can hear them.
They can hear them.
They've just got to see them.
And they're like getting negatives to command. Good role.
That is annoying as shit.
And it's like, it can be quite funny if you get the drop on somebody and you snatch a wood that's like really close to the enemy that they want to move into, and you're like, I'm already here. Like,
hello!
Hello!
We've already set up in here. So next one along is Rat Ogres.
Aha!
4, 4, 5 plus unit size 3 as always, 110 points, and we have a special rule 2.
Which is...
No, that can't be right. No, so that's a minimum.
Minimum.
No, so no minimum, maximum 2, no special rule, because they're just ogres. But they're full price ogres.
Yes, and so, and you can only have 4 units of them in the army.
So
this is the unit that can do something.
Let's compare these to Black Orcs, because they don't have any negatives or positives, whereas ogres have a negatrait, don't they?
Yes.
So these are good.
Yeah.
These are what Empire would like if they ever had any chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are meaty. And they're not discounted, unlike other things in this list, which are discounted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is so... With a build of a Skaven army, the choice you have to make about Rat Ogres is how many Rat Ogre units are you going to run? Because for every Rat Ogre unit, you could fit in
3.
Almost 4 other units.
Yeah, 3. Unless you're talking rat squads, 110 for 4, yeah. 3, so, almost 3.
So they will, if you include a lot of them, they reduce your break a lot.
Yeah.
And a Skaven are an army that can have a really high break.
Ridiculously high break.
If they want it, yeah.
Next one along is my personal favourite.
Mm-hmm.
Warp Lightning Cannon.
Ah, yes.
The artillery piece. Obviously, one attack.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. D6 shooting attacks.
Yep.
D6.
Yep.
2 hits, because they're no armour.
No armour.
You're paying for them individually.
Yep.
They're 50 points a pop.
50 points a gun.
You could take 2 per thousand.
So you could have 4.
If you're going to go this route, you might as well.
Yeah.
And they have their own special rules, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So... Here we go. Artillery. Now, artillery pieces, your ears always prick up because these are game changers.
Yeah.
Here we go. Warp Lightning Cannon has a range of 40. Well, that's a kick in the stone straight away.
You ain't outranging cannons at ease. was that a trebuchet?
I'm not saying that things like bolt throwers, high-off bolt throwers, don't have a role, because they have 47-year artillery. But you've got leadership 10. They shoot 12 shots when there's a pair of them, a pair of units.
Yeah, yeah.
40 centimetres, that's a kick in the stones. Has D6 attacks.
Yep.
Generate the number of attacks and then roll for each attack as usual. However, if the number of attacks is 1, this indicates that something has gone wrong.
Uh-oh, like you took them.
Very, like, very, very wrong. Roll the D6 again and work out this many attacks against the Warp Lightning Cannon itself.
Yep.
Considering he's got 2 hits.
Yep.
So on average dice, you 50-50 kill yourself.
You're smashing your own gun, yeah.
Yes. Units that take casualties and Warp Lightning Cannon and are not driven back, as usual, disregard these casualties when working out drivebacks. Well, if they're not fucking doing drivebacks, what the fuck are they doing?
Carry on.
That's it, I think, isn't it?
Is that it? Yeah.
So, oh, no, shit, there's more on the other side. Yeah. So please say you don't get to take armour or something against this. Fucking hell, right, okay. Units that drive up, right, okay. Units that take 1 or more casualties from a Warp Lightning Cannon must roll D6 immediately, and on a roll 6 become confused.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get, like, 15 casualties, you still roll 1 D6.
Yes.
And you have to roll a 6.
But you're missing one other part of it.
I'm still going. Well, units that are adjacent to a unit from Warp also roll for the confusion. That's the same as Chaos Dwarfs or something.
Yes,
a similar
right.
weapon.
It's the same thing, yeah.
But on a better weapon.
Yep.
Roll a D6 for each unit. Touching that unit on a 6 is confused. Note that it's possible for several units to become confused if they're touching the warp. Note that it's possible for Skaven units to become confused if they're touching the Warp Lightning Cannon when it goes wrong and inflicts casualties on itself.
Yep.
Super.
Yep.
It's a lot of risk and not much reward for this.
They're not very good.
Like, I once saw a committee member of the rules committee, Simon, he had 4 units of these.
Mm-hmm.
4 separate units. Shot for 4 of them. Rolled 3 ones.
Yeah.
And a 2.
Yeah.
Did literally fuck all and blow all his old cannons up.
Yeah.
You roll 3 ones, that means you're doing 3d6 damage on your own shit.
Yep.
With no armour.
Yep.
Brilliant.
I mean, they're not very good.
The range 40 is just loose. Well, you're going to have them on the front row.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, and... You know, how do you, like, you, yes, you could take 4 of these guns.
I mean, he's got D6 stand and shoot.
Yeah. So,
You could mix them in. Yeah. Mix them in along your front line just to try and do a... I might do that. Mix one, like, every 4 inches.
Just have another gun.
Just have a gun.
Yeah.
So that it does D6 and confuses you on a 6-up, confuses the other ships, and you never know. Or goes wrong, confuses all your scaven on a 6-up.
I mean, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Oh dear. Right, next one, Doomwheel. It's a machine.
Oh no, this is cool. So
5 attacks, 4 hits, 4 up armor. That's meaty.
Yeah.
Obviously, you only get one of these bad boys because you're talking steam tank level of stuff here.
That's right.
125 points, 1 per 1,000. So you can have 2, and the rule is number 6 for these idiots. Mm-hmm. When the Doomwheel charges against targets in the opening, it receives D6 bonus attacks in addition to its normal +1 for charging.
Yeah.
Note that this only applies when charging, not during pursuits, advances, and not when the Doomwheel is charged itself. Doomwheel causes terror. So we are talking about something.
So it's base number
6 plus D6.
+1.
No, it's 5 base, so
yeah.
6.
That's right.
6 plus D6.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an average like 9.5 attacks with terror.
Yep.
On a small face.
Yep.
20 mil face.
That's right.
That's stingy.
That's very stingy.
Because what are you taking back? 2 attacks?
Because you've got terror,
2 attacks back and you've just done like 9 attacks?
If these things get into somebody's flank...
9 attacks.
It's gravy.
With 4 up armour.
Yeah, yeah.
4 hits, can't be badly hurt or any of that shit, so they're pretty good.
I found that their role is like... because is second wave to like pick on units that are like busy mopping up your Skaven and they countercharge.
Busy mopping the flanks of knights.
Yeah, exactly. Because they are lovely countercharge pieces, and they don't want to lose combats because they're stuck in something else that's rubbish, and they want.
I'm not sure they can take a charge particularly well.
No, they can't. So that's why the enemy gets gummed up with other Skaven, and then you countercharge with these things. Personally, I mean, they're very good, but again, they are size up because they're 150 points.
125.
Sorry, yeah. So they start cutting into your break if you're taking them.
And also, with the new rules on advances, that second combat you do would only be 5 attacks.
Yes,
you don't even get the +1.
Like they win a combat, but they don't do much else after they've won that combat. So, they are a horrible piece to lose cheaply. So if the enemy draws a bead on them with cannons, it's not a good thing.
So that's the Doomwheel. Then we've got the character pack.
Yeah.
Which is very Skaven-y. We have a Greyseer, who we'll talk about. We have a hero and a wizard, or a warlock in this case.
Warlock. Mm.
The Greyseer's 130, which means he's got something funky going on.
He's a wizard.
That's a cheap wizard upgrade, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think you pay 125 for a normal fucking...
No, but he's got other problems.
The 20-centimetre command as well.
Yeah.
The hero's... hero's cheap as well, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
70-point hero.
Yeah, because he can't order as far as anybody else's hero.
Well, that's not strictly true, but I'll go with you for now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tomb King's heroes are just as shit.
All right, well, they haven't got heroes.
Well, there we go, Lizardmen heroes. They don't have heroes, but they've got shit heroes as well. Maybe all those heroes are weird. And we got a warlock who's a 30-pointer. So you can have 2 warlocks, you can have 4 heroes, and you can have a Greyseer.
Yeah.
And then we get let's see what the Greyseer's rules are. Greyseer is a magic user. Well, you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Last...
Barry's favourite piece.
My favourite fucking piece. So we've had all this then. Oh, well, this is not very good. This is probably going to get a leader terrible. He's got no this. He's got no that. He's got this. And then we get to the bloody piece, the game changer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I admit, if they didn't have this piece, the army would be pretty hard to use.
Pretty hard. Pretty rubbish.
Pretty hard to use. But then this piece changes a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's called a Screaming Bell. It costs 125 points.
Yep.
It's got no attacks. It's got 4 hits and 4 up armour. You've got unit size 1, obviously. You can have 1 per 1,000.
Yep.
Although God knows why you'd have more than one of these.
No, I think it's unique, isn't it? You can
it's
only have
1 per 1,000, doesn't it?
No, I think it's a unique.
Well, it's not right in here, then.
Oh, any special rules, it would say.
Okay, well, I'm sure it should be reflected in the army list.
We'll keep reading on.
I'll read. A screaming bell is a gigantic device. It cannot move of its own accord, but relies on the great mass of Skaven to push it forward. The screaming bell, therefore, can only move in the command phase if it forms a brigade with one or more units of infantry. It can then move 20 centimetres at infantry pace, which is the same as everybody else, apart from the artillery. It cannot move using initiative, cannot be driven back by shooting, and does not roll for drivebacks. In combat, it is automatically destroyed if forced to retreat, but will pursue, advance, and fall back so long as it's touching a Skaven infantry unit at the start and end of its move. Otherwise, it cannot pursue, advance, or fall back, as it is unable to move of its own accord. All Skaven units touching the Screaming Bell are unaffected by the usual penalty for terror.
Hooray.
Whilst they remain so. Mm-hmm. In addition, any... Yeah, it does say this unique.
Yep. So. Mm-hmm.
In addition, any Skaven hero or warlock within 30 centimetres of the Screaming Bell adds +1 to their command.
But not the general.
He's already leadership 9. You're not an elf.
I'm just saying. Like,
you are not an elf.
It's important to point that out.
Well, you're not an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should you be an elf, sir. Any character, enemy character, this is just a kick in the balls, this one. Any enemy character within 30 centimetres of the Screaming Bell deducts 1 from their command value.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
A Skaven army could only even include 1 Screaming Bell, no matter how large it is. The army or the bell. Just 1.
Or how small the army is. Like, you're going to take a bell.
Like, well, unless you've got no army to guard the bell. It does a lot.
Yeah.
So it turns all your guys into generals.
It's incredibly unique as a piece.
Well, it's not. Well, there's the lizard men... Bossman does the same thing, doesn't he?
Kinda, yeah, but it's...
The Divine Guidance role. Yeah. He turns you into Leadership 9 heroes.
So, a good point of the Screaming Bell is that... Because if it gets that unit, a character, in 30 centimetres... Because obviously the enemy moves his characters, and then it's your turn. So you know where those characters are. So you can plot out how can I get this bell to within messing up range, as in how many orders will I need to, like, you can factor that out, and the enemy can't, once they finish their turn, can't do anything about it. But I mean,
characters generally out front of the army, out the front.
I've never lost a Screaming Bell in a game.
It's not possible to get to the
front, like,
because you've won the game before the screaming bell's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so much stuff in front of you, in front of the Screaming Bell, and between you and the bell. Yeah,
exactly. It's a key piece to the Skaven army, because what it'll do is, depending on how you set down the army, but let's say it's going to help 2 brigades go around on movement 9, roughly.
Okay, so how it differs from Divine Guidance is if you mess up, it doesn't go away.
It's still there, yeah.
The Divine Guidance, yes, you change your infantry charge from an 8-6, because you're outside 20, you move to inside 20, so then your second order's on a 6.
Yep.
So you go 8-6, and it moves to 9-7.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Which is cool, yeah.
That's like being a general.
Which is good odds.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And for cavalry, it's even better.
Yep.
It's like 9-8. Quinton. But you change yours from 8-6 to 9-7, and if you fuck up, you just go next hero.
Next
9-7 again.
Exactly.
Or 9-7. And the odds between 9-7 and 8-6 are completely different.
Yeah, are much better odds.
Much better. Yeah. Much better. Well, almost more likely than not. It's not quite, but almost more likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good little thing, and the army wouldn't work without it. And I moan all the time about it. But Elizabeth get those for free, and they don't quite get it for free because they have to bring this big toad thing that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it just sits there and croaks. I mean, it's lovely. It's straight out of the fluff. It's got some great rules for it. It's cool.
Okay, right, we've got to crack on.
Yep.
I have
an army list here.
Oh, I've got to do the spells yet.
Yeah, do the spells.
Skitter leap. 2+ cast. Forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is
why is he even here?
this spell and teleport would be fantastic if you could do it after you've cast the spell.
But you can't.
So I cast a spell. If I'm successful, I get to scurry away.
Yeah.
This is, I cast a spell to then cast a spell. Why was I not in the place to cast a spell in the first place?
So I can
move 60.
Yeah. What I do with this is I do it to troll the enemy. So, like, the first turn, I cast Skitter Leap, I pick up the character, I give it to the enemy and go, oh, can you put it behind your artillery, please, or something? And they do. And they go, actually, can you give it back? And I just put it exactly in the same place. And I'm like, I just cast it for the sake of it.
Skitter Leap. Brilliant. Warp Lightning. This is like line of fire, is it? This spell can cast an enemy unit, so it's range 30, 5 to cast. The wizard must be able to see the target. The spell cannot be cast at target in combat. Wizard is treated like three ordinary attacks, except no armor.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. The unit can be driven back by warp lightning.
Standard attack shooting. Spell.
It's a good one. It's the good one. No armor one.
Yeah, it's no armor.
If only you had some other shooting to Death Frenzy. Death Frenzy. No, and now we're into the good stuff.
Yeah.
5+ to cast, range 30. The spell can be cast upon a friendly unit that is engaged in combat and which is within range. The wizard does not have to be able to see the target to cast a spell. Good. Spell lasts for the duration of the following combat phase and is indicated, and the indicated bonuses are added to the unit's total attack each round. Jesus.
Yeah.
The unit gains bonus death frenzy attacks for the following combat phase. To determine the number of bonus attacks, roll 1d6 at a time. Add the results together. The player can roll as many d6 as he wishes, up to a maximum of 3 in general. 3. 1 per stand. I guess if there's only 2 stands, then you could roll 2. If there's only 1 solo, you can only roll 1. Yeah. The player can roll as many. Okay, the player always rolls 1 dice at a time and must decide to stop at any point. However, if the player rolls a second or subsequent dice and scores the same value as the first dice, the death frenzy attacks are directed against the unit instead of the enemy.
Oops.
Like, this is the chaos-y spell, isn't it?
Yes.
Death frenzy attacks only struck. The rebound are only struck once. Whereas if they don't rebound, they're struck every
That's
round.
That's right.
Example gives an example. I roll fucking 3. I don't care. If it's on a unit of shit, whoa.
I'm a little more tactical than that because it says you only roll 1 dice at a time. That isn't a gamey thing to do. This is the spell you always want to cast, and when you are in combat, you're like, once you've rolled, you've successfully cast it, and you see how many extra attacks. Is that going to win the combat? On average dice. If it isn't, then you might be risking rolling more dice.
Okay, the only thing I would be tempted to roll just 1 dice, or maybe 2 on, is the doom wheel.
Yeah.
You got this doom wheel here.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that, do you?
Got a doom wheel in the flank. Suddenly the doom wheel doing 250,000 attacks.
In the magic game where you get a unit of rat swarms that charges in somebody's flank, and then you put this spell on them, and then this 25-point unit is putting out a ridiculous amount of attacks every round, and it can chase you, and it just keeps chasing you and doing it. You know,
yeah, imagine that in the flank of some light cap.
That's pretty cool because they're like, what are you risk? What's doing your work? 25 points, and what are they losing? Like, I don't know, 110 or something.
Yeah, they're only doing 2 attacks back if it's in the flank.
It's like, brilliant. but it doesn't happen that often.
Okay, and the final spell is a 6+ to cast, and it's called Plague, range 30. Spell can be cast on any unengaged enemy unit, whether within the wizard can see or not. Spell cannot be cast into combat. Units suffer 6 attacks, worked out in the usual way. A unit cannot be driven back.
Worth casting on like a unit, a 2-wound artillery piece.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cannon,
like
best case, you
like,
take off a piece.
Exactly.
Two.
Yeah, if you land it, but really, it's kind of that's the only time you really cast it because warp lightning is normally the thing you need to get the extra wound to cause a casualty because you've got some shooting in the army. Why, I don't know why you do, and then you need that to tip a casualty.
Okay, right, good. Right, so that's the end of the list. Now,
yep.
Paul's going to talk about his army list, I'll talk about my army list. They'll probably have to wrap up because we've gone way over an hour already, haven't we?
Yeah, so my army list is this. So this is the current thing I'm currently working with. Is it? Anyway, I take 11 clan rats, 4 storm vermin, 2 plague monks, 5 rat swarms, 2 gutter runners, 2 rat ogres, 2 doom wheels, a screaming bell, a grey seer, 2 heroes, 1 as a sword of might for the points, and 2 warlocks. Gives me a break point of 15 and a scouting value of 6 just from the 2 gutter runners. That's it. The way I form the army is there's one big brigade that has the bell behind it, then 2 equal sized left and right brigades, which are one of the heroes controls, and they're about 6 to 8 units on each one.
Just whatever I feel. 6 to 8
and,
some units.
Little counters. I tend to form the Doom Wheels with the Plague Monks are like 2 brigades of little 2 things, and their job is just to be between the brigades and to be the counterpunch to whatever I'm going into. So I purposely tell you, I have not taken any artillery pieces. I haven't taken any gels. I've tried that in a Skaven army, and I found that. And I tried that as my central brigade to have the ranged attacks, and I just found it kind of got in the way. And when it did draw range, it didn't do anything, or worse, it did only damage to me. And I just like, this isn't this isn't good. Like, it's not, it's not doing any effect. I'm like, my firepower is having not doing nothing, and I'm slowing my attacks down. Skaven are I found that I've only ever come up with more questions when I've played. Like, when you play an army and you start working them out, and like, and you start answering your questions, Skaven, it's the other way around.
More questions.
You end up with more questions on the army. Yes, that's my current build. I'd like to try a build that runs 8 gutter runners at one time, see what that does. And I wouldn't mind trying a build that takes like 4 artillery pieces and lots of Giselles, see what that does.
If I meant they could shoot more than 40.
Yeah. but yeah, the 8 gutter runner might be quite cool. Like, having brigades of gutter runners pop into your back line might be quite funny. That's it. That's my arm. But this is the one I've got at the moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I went. You can't go that different.
No.
With Skaven, because to start you need like a bucket of clan rats.
Yeah.
In every list.
You need a lot.
And considering how rare Skaven are, bucket of clan rats
is an expensive pastime. Yeah.
So how many clan rats did you go?
I took 11.
Jesus, I took 14.
14!
14!
Should have been 13 and you'd be in auspicious.
Like, I could make it 30. Yeah. We maxed out on the Storm Vermin.
Yeah.
As you would, 4 of those. 4 Rat Swarm.
Fair enough.
Because you got
him.
One Gutter Runner, because I thought.
It's worth having one.
Just definitely. For the annoying just potential.
Because you don't, because they might have the perfect role on the table.
Yeah, getting that wood.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's that will be my only scout.
Yeah,
which is 3.
Yeah, but Skaven don't scout.
Yeah, but it's like I've done this game. You try to say, I'll maximise scout, and then you come against some high elf with 21.
Yeah,
I'm even bothering, mate.
Yeah,
21. Do me a favour.
Do me a favour, mate.
Even if I got my 6 or 9 and rolled 2d6, I can still only get 21, can't I? Yeah. I can't even compete.
Well, Skaven are a huge horde. They're not scouting. Anyway, carry on.
Right, so Rat Ogres. We've gone 4.
You've gone for 4.
Yeah. Course serve. 1 Doom Wheel, because that's my counter punch.
Yeah.
1 Screamy Bell, because why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
1 Grey Sphere.
Yeah.
2 Heroes, 2 Warlocks. And the only thing, I had 30 points kicking around.
Yeah.
I thought I could do like a dispel scroll and a sword, but my heroes, they're not really fighty heroes, are they?
No,
so we've got a ring of magic, and what we're going to use that for is we're going to use it for the 6-up spell.
It's plague.
Plague, to try and take out some artillery if I need to, or alternatively, use it to force in a 5-up spell, the one with the damage multiplier.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there's a key fight, like a doom wheel in the flank that I need
you
to work.
You want to really mess them up, yeah, got it.
Ring of magic that in.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, I'm leaving myself open by not having a spell scroll to things like undead, but I've got such numbers that I don't worry.
What's your break?
15.
15, right, okay.
So I've traded some Rat Ogres and for your Gutter Runner and second Doom Wheel.
Yeah, so...
And you've got Plague Monks, I don't take
that. Yes, I take it some Plague Monks, yeah. So Skaven are... What has a bigger break value than Skaven?
Tomb Kings can, but they're not
Tomb
very
Kings
good
can.
If you do.
Goblins can.
They're not very good either.
Beastmen? Beastmen can get that high.
If you want to take a load of shit, just gets run over.
Yeah, you should. It's going to be a rare game that your Skaven army is outnumbered by units has got a lesser break than somebody else. Yeah, and to some players, that many units can be quite intimidating. Yeah, they just don't realise how crap your stuff is.
And I've got at least I'm getting towards 5% free stuff because of my discounts.
Yeah,
my Brucey bonus. As for building brigades, I'd probably have a Rat Ogre with 3 clan rats as a brigade, and a Rat Ogre with 3 clan rats as a brigade.
Yeah.
Rat Ogre on the front and clan rats in column behind, and they'd be my 2 flanking brigades, and then everything else would just be in a central brigade.
That would be it. Everything
just
else.
Fucking just well, apart from the Doom Wheel that's floating around.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else just in the big blob.
In the blob.
Big blob, and I'd intersperse like Storm Vermin and Rat Ogres in the front line.
Yeah, yeah. Just
you don't want clan rats on their own in the front line.
No, they're not going to win.
Just get mauled.
Fair enough. That's cool. That's cool. I mean, it's so to speaking about the army overall, it reverses matchups. So what it does is in some games where the opponent's units, which are normally the good things, become the weak things. It's weird. Like, if the opponent, like, suddenly knights aren't as big of a problem, as in, like, oh, so this army, like, its strength, its leader, its like best things are knights, but everything in your army can chase them, so they become more vulnerable.
You've got to win the combat, man. You've got to win the combat.
Yes, you've got to win, but it's they're just they're just weird for matchups.
Things like heavy chaos are just going to rinse them.
The way you beat Skaven is you take four Chaos Warrior units, you put them together.
Two Chaos Knights, and smash
you. No, you don't even need the Chaos Knights, you just need the infantry will do it. And you're like, here you go, fight that. And I can't. And then Skaven just get rinsed. Or elephants are particularly good at squishing Skaven, as I found out in an event.
I think they'd be afraid of mice.
Oh my god, no.
Elephants, but obviously not.
Oh, because they're. Basically, if Skaven, like, if your units are getting wiped out in two rounds, like in two rounds of combat, you can't do enough damage to the enemy to matter.
And they just back off.
They're just going to rinse you. It doesn't matter. Then your numbers. It's like the classic Spartans 300. You know, if you can't draw enough attacks on the elite stuff that they can just reset, then you're never going to break through. And then suddenly your numbers are, your Persian hordes are swiftly cut to size, because you do have a lot, but you don't have endless. You know, like 15 break is a lot, but they will get cut through fairly promptly when the opponent has the right tools for the job. And so the Chaos Heavy army is very hard for Skaven to beat. I don't even know if they can beat it. You know?
It's pretty hard for anything to beat and without cannons.
But like Skaven just, they have no answers there. You know, like, I mean, you know, it's an uphill battle.
So even the Warp Lightning Cannon give you full armour saves, from what I saw. I didn't see anything.
You get full armour saves, yeah.
Shit. It's just ridiculous.
Exactly, like, you just...
Get within 40 centimetres. I'd rather have bolt throwers.
I think if the enemy realises, that's the thing, it's like, it looks big and it looks intimidating, but if the enemy realises how weak it actually is to some things.
And that's four breaking it, those cannons. Because they're not two units, it's four units.
Boom.
Yeah, like, four units.
And it's
oh my God.
And they just realise, oh, I have the perfect mincing machine, all I have to do is feed it to you, and even like, hitting him in the flanks and everything else, and like you, attrition is Skaven's key. But when you can't do any attrition to the enemy, you're gonna lose.
I think the funniest game I had was, I think you were playing against High Elves or something, and you just couldn't get any purchase on the table because I kept moving from side to side with leadership 10. I just kept turning round.
I can't do it. Yeah, it's like literally my horde is trying to like turn. It's not working. Oh, they're over there now. Ah, they smell bad. And like,
hey man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? Gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Go to Jibber Jabber Fool and get yourself to BlackGateMiniatures.com. That's BlackGateMiniatures.com.
So we're back. We're just going to talk about events.
Just quickly. So the next Warmaster event in the UK is sold out. So like,
two weeks or three weeks.
And what are you taking? Are you taking the ogres? At the moment, I'm taking orcs and goblins. So I need to finish off the units that I need to paint for the army. So like, and
you should have been doing it now. You've been doing other. What are you painting this epic stuff?
Because this is, I'm playing epic on Saturday.
Oh, fairly. Yeah.
There you go.
Good reason.
Yeah. So I'm probably. Will I do well with Orcs and Goblins? Probably not, but it'd be quite fun to go to an event with Orcs and Goblins.
It's an event you will have to fight to win.
Yes. So,
but the problem is, can you do enough damage and not take enough
probably
damage?
Probably not, no. Like, and the other army, as in what I might also take, is like Skaven, and they're gonna take damage. I guess if I was being serious, I might take like the Dark Elves there or something, like to try and do enough damage and not take any back.
Chaos. All ogres can play kind of like chaos.
Yeah.
I'm going to play them defensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty. Obviously, I have plenty of options. Is the beauty of this scene at the moment for me. Anyway, about the event after that, which is BonesCon.
BonerCon
in February. Tickets are up for that. There's going to be a 16-player Warmaster event over 2 days. 6 of the tickets are currently sold already. There won't be any more tickets. So once they're sold out, they're sold out. You can just put in Google BonesCon 19. That will lead you to the website. And when you buy the ticket, it will request the game. game system that you're going to play, and War Master, you click on that one. That'll be War Master Revolution. Winter Roller 19 rules pack, which is if it's not on the website, I'll make sure it's linked to the website. Because that's the rule set that I've already written for it is going to be used. Please come along to that, which is in Guildford, is it?
Guildford, sir. Used to live there, sir.
Yeah, so please come along to that if you can, and get a ticket before you're disappointed if they're gone. Because, as I say, there is a finite amount, and they, you know, no matter how much the demand is, there won't be extras beyond 60.
Mm-hmm. And although I am working that weekend, so I won't be around during the days. My shifts are generally 8 till 4. Mm-hmm. I will make sure I arrange a social event on the Saturday evening somewhere in Guildford.
And Yes, of course. And
I used to go to TGI Fridays as a place to go in Guildford that was kind of caters for most people's taste.
Exactly. And I will be the player TO of the event, so hopefully I'll just be TOing it. But if there's an odd number to make up a space, I will be playing it as the spare player. And that's what I'll be doing, so I'll be there running the thing.
Okay. And organising prizes for everybody.
And obviously I'm going to make sure that the War Master is well supplied in prizes. There will be a big prize support, hopefully for the whole event, but definitely for War Master.
Okay.
Because I'm the guy that all does that.
You're the guy. So we'll call it a day there. We'll talk a bit more about Blackgate. There is some murmurings of some rumblings. I have contacted my talent, and they're both available.
And what were you contacting them saying?
I can't talk at this stage.
It's too early.
There's definitely something. There's workings and rumblings and grumblings. I told you I bought some new equipment, haven't I? So I'm playing with resin and stuff.
Yeah.
As you do in your spare time.
That's
good. So we'll maybe in a week or two time when we come back, I'll tell you
what
more
would be
about
quite
it.
Interesting actually, listeners, is why not send us in what army race would you want Blackgate Miniatures to do next, and why would you want them to do them next? So no, not only just a wish list, I would say, I wish you would do demons, but why would you want them to do demons?
Why would you want them to do demons?
Because you might persuade Barry to do it.
This was episode 104. We talked about Skaven.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening in a couple of weeks. Maybe we've only got two more of the original to do. We're on 12 out of 14.
Oh, we should do the two originals, those originals then first.
I think Bretonnia might be one of them.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Maybe
there's
it,
two more to do.
You've written it, like, we've done Bretonnia.
Oh, well, there's two more. See if you can guess them from the list. Read the list out.
Bretonnian, Chaos, Dark Elf, Dwarf, Empire, High Elf, Lizardman, Orc, Skaven, Tomb Kings, Vampire Counts, Witch Hunters.
Oh, one of them's fake. Was that Witch Hunters was an original list, was it? Shit.
Yeah, but we should do the original.
No, I think Kislev's one of them.
Kislev?
No,
yeah.
It's not. That's not either. Aram. Oh, shit.
What are you talking about? The original six?
No, there was more than six in the original. There was like three sets of lists, wasn't there? There was original, then there was fan, and then there was experimental or trial or some shit.
Well, Kislev was the seventh army to appear on the scene.
Okay.
It must be Kislev.
We need the man. We'll have to get Jim to talk about bloody Kislev, because I've never even played them.
No,
played against them.
We might have to get Jim to submit his notes. Like, have you made some armies?
Jim, yes, okay.
Those damn war wagons.
Goddamn war wagons. Right. Yeah. So maybe it'll be Kislev then. We need to get it done. Mm-hmm. We'll go and approach Jim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was episode 104. Back in a couple of weeks. That was Paul and Barry.
Would you like to know more?